Welcome to Market Up in Syracuse. I'm your host, Mark Bialzak, and we're about to spend a few moments together on this podcast exploring some of the most interesting topics that make the music and art scene in Central New York go round. Through three decades, I've been watching, listening to, and exploring the people and places that perhaps you've enjoyed and appreciated too. Every show, my goal is to discover something new, even when talking with old friends. Who knows? Hopefully together, we'll unearth many cool surprises. Hi, Eric McElvin and Julie Briggs. I'm so glad you've dropped by to talk about the New York State Blues Fest, which will run July 10th and 11th in Clinton Square. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having us.
Eric, this is your first year as director of the event after many years running the stages at the Sterling Stage Campitheater. How's it been adding this two-day flurry of activity into your schedule?
Well, it's been wonderful. It certainly makes for a busy schedule, but it's such a different environment than doing a ticketed event out in the woods. It's a free event downtown Syracuse, and so it's kind of a nice new a medium for me to work in, and I'm super excited about it.
How many months have you been on the job, so to speak?
I guess it's since it's been August, September time, I guess, when I came on. So quite a while, however many months that is, 8, 9 months, I guess. So, we've been working pretty intensively at it for a while now. So,
when you sat down and you took the job, what did you say to yourself, this is my main mission with the Blues Fest?
To make it sustainable is the number one thing. It's not a secret that the organization has had some struggles in the past several years. I don't think it's because there's not a market for blues music. Sometimes things just need a little tweaking a little bit and a little revamping to reach their audience. And I think that we're finding those pathways, and we've experienced a great response from our lineup announcement. And so it's to build the organization to be strong and representative of the wonderful community, blues community that we have in Central New York. In a lot of the ways that we're doing that, I think, is using some crossover artists as well as traditional artists to bring in a bigger audience. And, we're very excited about the acts we have to do that this year.
What was the very first thing that you had to do? What was task one?
Task one was really, I think, to gain the confidence of the board. And that's a good thing because there's a wonderful board of directors, and they are all taken a lot of care in trying to preserve the organization. And, they certainly wanted to make sure that I shared that passion. And it's been a wonderful growth. I think some of my ideas were a little bit different than what had been done in the past. Thankfully, after some long discussions and, an exploration of, different scenarios, we came up with a good meeting ground. And now as we get closer, it looks like, the kind of vision is really unifying between all of us. And we're on the way.
Julie, you've been involved with the festival several years now with several different directors. Last year, after the fest ended and Austin Jimmy Murphy was done, he was the guy who founded it 23 events ago, and you knew that was happening, the ties were split. What did the board of which Eric speaks do to sit down and identify some candidates for this go-round, and how did that happen, and how did you find Eric?
Well, we really wanted to find somebody who had real-life experience putting on a successful festival, successful events, and that's not a big group of people in Central New York who have that skill set. And Eric was a friend of a friend of mine, and I kind of knew of him but didn't know him very well. And we started, we just kind of opened up some conversations to see if it was something he would be interested in looking at. And he was very receptive to it because, as he said, it's a whole different ball game for him. It's very different from Sterling. But But I think if you're able to put on a successful, viable festival year after year, that translates no matter what kind of music you're talking about and where the venue is. So he really was a very, very good fit for us.
What did you think were the traits that were the best fit for this festival?
I think I think it's always a balancing act of your passion for the music, and, okay, in our case, the passion for the blues, and making good business decisions that are going to allow the festival to continue. And Eric really brings that. We have a lot of very passionate blues fans on our board, and Eric kind of tempers that with making good business decisions that are going to allow us to continue this festival year after year. So I think that's probably one of the biggest things, aside from just the day-to-day experience. He's been doing this for years and very successfully. He tempers the enthusiasm and fans wanting their particular favorite to be on the festival bill with a business decision.
Now, 9 months into working with Eric and 3 months out from the festival, what is the mindset of the board, you would say, Julie?
The board is very excited. We're in great shape this year. We're doing well getting sponsorship together. Our group is working really well together. We've brought some more people onto our board. We've brought in new volunteers. So we've just got a really great group of people. And I think everybody's very optimistic and very enthusiastic about this year's festival.
What are some of the differences between the last regimes and this regime?
Well, I think the hardest thing, Jim Murphy didn't live here. He came in a couple times a year, and there's so much work that goes into doing this. We found it difficult to work with somebody who was on the other side of the country. That was probably the biggest part.
That's understandable. The last year I was amazed at how it probably was an email situation getting it up and running, so to speak.
Yeah. Everything was a little bit more difficult because of that, because a lot of the conversations were happening from Texas, and there was a few things that got dropped, and we all felt that it would be easier to work with somebody locally.
It is a small world, but doing that from El Paso, Texas must have been a tough job
for Jimmy. Sure it was. I'm sure it wasn't easy for him.
So you mentioned this. The lineup was announced last Thursday. You got a baker's dozen bands coming to Clinton Square over the 2 days of Friday and Saturday, July 10 and 11. So, Eric, tell me, what's got you pumped up about these bands?
Well, certainly our headliner, our Saturday night headliner, Robert Randolph and the Family Band, is a good time. So, that's the number one thing is, it's Saturday night, the festival, and, I feel like the event really needed something, a nice big splash to cap it off and something for everybody to look forward to all weekend. And Robert Randolph in band certainly know how to bring that party, with a mix of gospel and jam band. And blues, there's really something in there for everybody, and it really broadens the spectrum, I think, of folks that are going to be down there joining the festivities.
And Friday night?
Friday night, we got the Kingsnakes, and I'm super excited about that. First time I saw the Kingsnakes, it's funny, there's a lot of people, I'm in my mid-40s, and, which is not as young as I'd like it to be. A lot of people in my peer group, maybe you've heard more of the legend of the Kingsnakes than they actually got to see them as they kind of wrapped it up in the early 90s as a bunch of my friends were turning 21. I had the opportunity to see them in 1987, I think it was, opening for B.B. King at the Landmark Theater. I was 16, something like that. It was incredible. It was one of my first experiences of a really incredible blues show. And it's always stuck with me. And, at the time, to be playing a sold-out show at the Landmark like that was a wonderful opportunity for a local band. And then, they broke into the national scene. And, and then there were blues bands all over Central New York. And they were really such a great catalyst for that thriving scene that has gone on since then in our community. So really excited about that. And we got some other great stuff on Saturday as well with John Primer, who played with Muddy Waters, Devin Allman Band, Greg's son, who's really coming into his own.
Well, people around here should remember that the Kingsnakes, such as Terry Mulhauser and Pete McMahon, they still, Jerry Neely on keyboards, they still play for a lot of different bands around here too, and people get very excited when they get back together on one stage.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been 11 years since they've played Blues Fest, and I don't know, the numbers of people told me there was, I don't know, a lot of folks there the last time they played, something like 17,000 people they thought or something, I don't know, but I'm not... it sounds like it was really packed, and I was in California at the time and missed it. But the, you know, we're super excited about it, and I think that a lot of people are going to come out of the woodwork of old fans, and a lot of people who never got the opportunity to see them are going to be, out there to check it out.
We're going to take just a little bit of time here and play some snippets of music from those bands. Julie, what bands are getting you excited?
I agree with Eric. The Kingsnakes, I think, are going to be a big deal. I'm hearing great response from that. And again, I think I got to see them once or twice, in the late 80s, maybe. Also, Danielle Nicole, she was with Trampled Underfoot at our festival last year, and they were just a huge, huge crowd favorite. So that's another one that I think everybody's pretty excited about. She just really charmed the audience and was, very high energy, lots and lots of fun. Obviously Robert Randolph.
I've been lucky enough to see them play at the Landmark Theater several years ago, and they really play.
They do.
Energy, you think?
Exactly. And that's what we're looking for. We want it, it's a festival and it's about the music, but it's also the party. It's the fun. We want it to be a really fun weekend for everybody who attends.
We should note that it is free admission because several years ago there was that year where people were paying to get in, but you're back to free. Eric, what other wrinkles to the event do you think that blues music fans and music fans in general should look for this year?
Sort of wrinkles?
Wrinkles. Yes. You're coming in. You're bringing your own signature stamp,
yeah.
I would think.
Sure. Yeah. I like events with texture. And we got a lot of interesting things. We do have, there's going to be a side stage as well, and it'll be all, all solo acts on that, except for one duo. Damn Dog Duo is doing the tweener spots there on Saturday night. And so, and maybe this is something that gets expanded in the future, but really it's also the idea of country blues, of acoustic blues that, when it's not something, that perhaps is the right thing to be the headline act at an event like this. And, and that's why we're using it in a different way as a little side fill thing. But it is an important part of the blues. And it's a really the root of the city blues and everything that grew out of that. And so there's, the showcasing of that is something that I think adds a nice breakup and texture of the music throughout the weekend. Also, we have... Carolyn Kelly Band doing the hosting the Solo Syracuse segment of the show, which is on Saturday evening, 6 o'clock, and they have special guests Mark Hoffman, Todd Fitzsimmons, and Bernie Clark with them. And that just really, I think, there's so many people that we could have worked together. There's only so much time in a weekend, but Syracuse has such an incredible wealth of real incredible veteran blues players, guys that. Some of them do play around nationally. Many of them could. It's hard to be on the road. And there's actually such a nice community around here that maybe it's better just to be around here sometimes. But, I really look at that as something that's a nice showcase for the event. And you know, for those that don't get out to the clubs and stuff, it gives them an opportunity to see what's out there, who are these talents, and, you know, maybe then they become fans and they go out and check some of the stuff out in the smaller clubs in different times of the year. So we're, you know, definitely very excited about that. In general, you know, we want to bring good fun to the to Clinton Square, and lots of good food and drink and different craft vendors and all that. And so now, as long as we get a nice, beautiful, sunny day, you know, we'll have the party either way. But you know, it's always nice when it's gorgeous weather down there in July. So
when you're changing from your Blues Fest director hat back and forth with your Sterling Stage director hat, do you keep in your mind that the music fans of each are more similar or more different?
I think that the biggest difference between the two events is one is free and one is not. You know, it takes, a certain commitment to, you know, I mean, obviously the commitment to, you know, buy a ticket, go out to Sterling Stage for 4 days out in the woods. I mean, it's a certain sort of hardiness of character and commitment, you know, affection for the music that it draws out that particular crowd. You know, with the Blues Fest, you know, we're really looking to part of the mission is preservation of the blues, and so we want to reach as wide of an audience as possible. That it's not just that we're looking for the people who are already hardcore blues fans; it's that we're looking for everybody, really. I mean, to come down and join the party, and then, you know, they hear stuff maybe that's newer, they hear stuff that's more traditional, and they get a better understanding of the blues and how and why it's important in our culture, perhaps. You know, that it's the foundation of all music in America, with the exception of European classical-based music. That, you know, everything that's come out of the 20th century was really blues-based. And so, you know, it is already everywhere around. And, you know, I think part of the goal of the festival is really to kind of tie that in together in a nice, digestible package. So I think that's a big part of it, is really that, you know, trying to get that mass appeal and just really get people down there.
Are you hoping that this is more than a 1 year agreement and arrangement for you?
I do. I actually tend to think in long terms anyway. And, you know, I'm very much enjoying it and would like to, be the guy curating this thing for a while, if it works out good and they'll have me back.
So tell me some things that you might be thinking about for 2016.
You know, I got a list for 2016 already working, right? Yeah. I honestly, the formula that we're kind of going with this year, is probably what we would stick to in the future, meaning that, you know, we like stuff that for a headliner that's got some crossover appeal. We like to be able to bring in veteran traditional artists who really are deserving of the exposure but maybe don't necessarily get to the market all the time. You know, exposing new artists that are doing new and different things with the music and carrying, you know, the blues spirit into the 21st century. You know, certainly I do think there's a lot of opportunity with the jam band world, which I think, you know, is maybe it's had the negative connotation as being about noodling or something in the past. But I think really it's more along the lines of an openness of not really being hung up on genres so much and being more about the spirit of things. You know, is blues really gets to be an art form with a long, long history. I think it's really hard to pinpoint and say this is blues or that's blues. You know, like, certainly a lot of things can be blues, and I like that attitude. I don't like to I like saying more things are blues than trying to exclude stuff saying it's not, that it doesn't fit. And so, you know, putting up that bigger umbrella, you know, and is really, you know, I think important to the overall sustainability and legacy of the event, and you know, that's probably the path that we'll continue on.
Thank you. Julie, as marketing director, I know that you keep track of the fundraising events that take place before the fest. Are there any dates coming up that people should keep in mind before July?
We do. We have one more. We are doing a Blues on the Ridge golf tournament at the Ridge out in Chittenango, and we are going to have Taz Crew Skip Murphy and the Merry Pranksters, and Mark Hoffman's All-Star Jam. So it'll be a fun day, even if you are not a golfer.
And the date of that is?
The date is June 28th. So that's what we're working on right now. And obviously, it's full speed ahead for the festival right now for us.
Very good. Thank you both for coming by to the offices of WAER-FM. Have a great day.
Thanks, Bert.
Thanks for listening. Check back soon for our next podcast, where we'll meet with another Syracuse Arts personality. And remember that my community blog column, Market Up in Syracuse, has been appearing in written form weekly on Syracuse public media site, WAER.org, since January 2014.